contending for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. For tuning into Abounding Grace Radio, broadcasting on the continent of Africa, or on great radio stations across North America, or worldwide online at agradio.org. I'm Scott Clark, filling in for Chris Gordon today. Today on AGR, we're talking with an avid AGR listener, Pastor Mike Abendroth, pastor of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts, and he's host of No Compromise Radio, which you'll want to listen to. We want to thank you, listener, for supporting Abounding Grace Radio. You can find us online at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. There are lots of resources there, including the AGR Live blog. It's a new blog, lots of content there already. I'm there, and Chris Gordon is there. Good stuff. We just put up an article on Lent by a friend of ours, Bill Godfrey, Pastor Bill Godfrey. It's a terrific piece, and you'll like to read that. If you're thinking about Lent, wondering what all this is, what this means, if you miss a broadcast, you can subscribe right there on the blog. You can subscribe in iTunes or on the blog, and so you never have to miss an episode or a broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio. In fact, the entire AGR audio catalog is there going back more than 10 years. You can contact us there on the site at agradio.org, and you can support us. We appreciate that very much. Again, at agradio.org. We want to hear from you. You can call us. Our number is 888-504-8805. 888-504-8805. Call us. We want to hear from you. You can leave us a message. We actually have somebody who typically answers the phone, and you can talk to us, and we'll answer questions and point you in the right direction. You can find us on Twitter at AG Radio 1. That's AG Radio 1. We're on Facebook at Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. So we're all over social media. We want to get to know you. We want to be able to get these materials into your ears and before your eyes, because we think they're helpful, and we hope that you find them helpful. So in the studio with me now is my friend Mike Abendroth, a fellow Nebraskan Cornhusker, and as I say, host of No Compromise Radio and pastor of West Boylston, or pastor of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. So hi, Mike, and thanks for being with us on Abounding Grace Radio.
Scott, I'm so glad to be in the studio and on Abounding Grace Radio. I regularly listen to the show. I love to promote it. And here's a true fact. One
As
summer,
opposed to a false fact? Is that one?
True lies. This is something that's true. I rode my bicycle for many hours one particular week this last summer, and I listened to over 40 Abounding Grace radio shows in 1 week. Well, true story.
If we had an award, we would give it to you as our all-time AGR listener.
I figure if you listen to 40 shows, that should buy you or purchase you studio time to come in and record a show.
Well, I guess it did, huh? Yeah, here we are.
Well, so, one of the reasons I love the show is because Chris is so Christ-centered, and he's just preaching through the Bible verse by verse. And I remember one particular message. He was talking about John 9 and the man born blind. And if anybody could lose their salvation and lose their standing before God, it seems like it would be that man. I mean, his father was against him, his mother was against him, the leaders were against him. But then Chris tied in chapter 10, and here is this great sheep that won't lose one, and this great shepherd, rather, that won't lose one of his sheep. And so I just thought that was a great tie-in, and that warmed my heart. And I always tell people, listen to Abounding Grace Radio.
Well, we appreciate that, and we enjoy No Compromise Radio. I've listened to it a lot, and we see you on Twitter a lot, being fun and interesting and provocative, and right? Stirring things up sometimes.
Yeah, that's a nice thing to do. I want people to think, and so we can just stir the pot a little bit. Maybe I could be a catalyst or something, some kind of catalytic person.
Yeah, you could be a catalytic converter. As long as you don't smell like eggs, that would be good.
And by the way, I've had Chris on No Compromise Radio before.
And the name of the program is, your program is No Compromise. So you're not a fellow who's used to backing down. You have got a little spine in you. Well, you know, John 9 really is a marvelous passage. It's one of my favorite places. You know, people talk to me or ask me, well, Pastor, you know, how do I talk to other people about Christ? And, you know, there's a lot of talk about every member evangelism. And people get burdened, you know, well, you need to learn a method. You know, I went to Del City, Oklahoma, a suburb of Oklahoma City, years ago, and I studied for a week a particular method of evangelism. Let's say it was a combustible evangelism. So we were going to learn this particular method, and then we went out to practice it, you know, and we knocked on doors, and I did that in Kansas City. I did it in Oklahoma. I've done it elsewhere, and I've stood in parking lots and handed out flyers and things, and I've preached in, you know, missions and street corners and things, but I'm a pastor, you know, and so what should God's people do? And I often point them to John 9. First of all, I think evangelism is something that the minister fundamentally does, which is the announcement of the evangel, of the gospel. But I do think God's people should be able to give a witness to two things, to the faith, the objective facts of redemption, and to their faith, their personal appropriation. It doesn't mean that a Christian has to be able to explain the Trinity in great detail, or the two natures of Christ, or the problem of evil, or all of these great conundrums, right, that trouble people. But the man born blind didn't deal with any of that. Isn't that interesting? He's born blind. So here we are in John 9, and I just went there because you mentioned it. And I thought, well, that would be a good thing to think about for a minute. And the first thing we see here in 9:2 is the rabbi. You know, they see the man born blind, and the disciples ask Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents?" And Jesus sorts them out. You don't understand the doctrine of providence, right? It doesn't work that way, right? There are evils in the world. There are things like blindness, where things aren't the way they are meant to be. But it's not because somebody sinned, and he takes the opportunity to show who he is, right? We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, right? Night is coming when no one can work. And as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. So I'm the solution to blindness. And having said these things, he spit on the ground, which is one of the more interesting things of the many fascinating things our Lord did, made mud with the saliva, and then he puts this compound on this guy's eyes. Which is, again, there's no magic. This isn't, please don't go find mud in the Holy Land and start selling it, right? Doing goofy things like that. He's just illustrating something, isn't he? How were we made originally? We're made out of dirt. And he's going to make this guy a new man. And he puts the mud on his eyes and he says, go wash in the pool of Siloam, right? Which means sent. And so the guy does this. Right, he sends him off blind with his eyes covered, and the guy knows how to find his way to the pool of Siloam, and he comes back, and John just says, you know, very sort of nonchalantly, he came back seeing. And now there's a crisis. Jesus gave this guy sight. And so this is where it gets to be about witness. Immediately people start wondering, well, is this still the same guy? Well, yeah, he's the same guy, because he kept saying, right, I am the man. That's the first thing that he had to say. Yes, I was blind. Now I can see. I am that guy. And so they start asking him theological questions. Well, how is it your eyes were open? And what does he tell them? The man called Jesus, made mud, anointed my eyes, and said to me, go to Siloam and washed. So I went and washed, and I received my sight. All he did was tell the truth.
And it's interesting, too, because Jesus, of course, knew their plan, the Pharisees' plan, because they had already agreed, these leading Jews, that if anyone confessed Jesus as the Christ, they were going to be put out of the synagogue. So yeah. Jesus was driving this whole thing and causing this problem to occur. And I like it that when the man was talking to people, he said, listen, I already told you about Jesus. Do you want me to tell you again?
Yeah, exactly.
He didn't say, well, I'll go to plan B. Let me tell you a different thing. No, I've told you the good news. I guess you didn't hear it. I'll reiterate the good news again. Is that what you want?
That's right. In verse 12, they said, well, where is he? And when the guy doesn't know something, he says, I don't know. Isn't that fabulous? Right? So, listener, when you're giving witness to the faith, You don't have to know everything. You just have to know what's true. And if you don't know something, you don't know it, right? So then they bring in the heavy hitters, the Pharisees, the scholars, to interrogate him because it was the Sabbath. And as the Pharisees misunderstood the Sabbath, they thought, well, you shouldn't be healing people on the Sabbath. And our Lord, of course, who instituted the Sabbath in creation as God the Son, said, well, no, the Sabbath is for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is all about new life, healing, and restoration. You knuckleheads, you don't even understand what's going
and
on.
And I am Lord of the Sabbath.
And I'm Lord of the Sabbath. If I want to heal people on the Sabbath, if I want to pick grain on the Sabbath, I can do that. You guys need to adjust your doctrine to me, not I to you. And so the Pharisees come, and they want to know, how did he receive his sight? And again, what does he tell them? He put mud in my eyes, I washed, and I see. And then some of the Pharisees said, well, this man's not from God. He doesn't keep the Sabbath. Well, yeah, he is from God, and you have the wrong idea of the Sabbath, be that as it may. And others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? So if he did a sign, and he did do a sign, then he can't be a sinner, right? So Jesus creates a crisis, and there's a division, it says in verse 16. And again, they say to the blind man, well, what do you say about him since he opened your eyes? And what does the blind man say? He is a prophet. Well, now he's up the ante. So what does he know? He knows he must be a prophet because he has the power to do these things, and he told the truth. He healed the blind man. He was blind. Now he can see. Doesn't know where he is, but he knows who he is, or at least he knows what he is. And the Jews didn't believe that he had been blind. Now they want to discount the miracle, discount the sign. You really weren't blind. This is all a trick. This isn't real. And so then they go to the parents, verse 19. Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he see? And what do his parents say? We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. And this gets back to the synagogue thing, right? Mom and dad know they're on the hook. They probably have some idea what transpired. But they are not going to speak up in favor of Jesus and risk losing their place in the synagogue.
And this is not just, well, we can't go worship on a Saturday.
Yeah.
This whole culture and becoming excommunicated from the synagogue and not being economically able to participate in everything else, everything was on the line for these parents as well. And that's what makes me so amazed. The Lord Jesus is going to make sure this man makes it through because he's not going to lose one of his sheep. Even a mom and dad might disown a son for their own sakes, yet the Lord Jesus is not going to do that. He's going to lay down his life for this man.
And John confirms exactly what you just said. Verse 22, his parents said these things because they were afraid of the Jews, and the Jews agreed that anybody who confessed Christ would be put out of the synagogue. And as you say, this is not a place where, well, I got put out of this church, so I'm going to go down the street to this other one, and they'll take me in. When you're out, you're out. And that was very serious business. It had social consequences, possibly economic consequences, certainly spiritual consequences. And that's why they said what they said. So then they come back, the Pharisees, and they interrogate this guy again. And they say, now they put him under oath. Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. And what does the man who was blind say? Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. This is a fact. You have to deal with this fact. I used to be blind. Now I see, right? And he made them deal with reality. And he described what happened to him. Kristen, you can always tell people what happened to you. You were blind. Now you see. Right? And you, Mike, you know this from your own experience.
Well, it's interesting growing up in Nebraska, if you're leading in, you want me to lead into that.
Yeah.
I grew up in a Lutheran church, and I would have known that I was a sinner. I found my old Bible, by the way, my RSV.
Oh, nice.
And I looked in the Gospel of John, and I had much of it underlined, much of John 3 underlined. And I thought, well, I knew those things as facts, but it took the death of my father in 1989 for me to come face-to-face with what happens when you die, and where will you go? And I picked up the Bible, and I didn't really know how to decode it. I had no illumination to understand it. It just was facts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, she said, you know, you can start listening to Christian radio, And you can hear the Bible taught on the radio. That's by one of the reasons why I love Christian radio and Bible teaching programs. And I began to listen to the radio, and these men would say that I was a sinner. And I have to admit this, sorry, on Abounding Grace Radio. The show that I was listening to had an altar call.
Yeah.
And I felt like I wanted to move up to the front of the dash of the car
because
I needed to geographically go someplace.
Yeah.
But all I needed to do was simply trust in the promises of God in Christ Jesus. I knew about him. I gave affirmation about him, but I never trusted in him. And the Lord granted me a hearty trust in him. And it was just like this very thing. Early on, if you would have asked me about doctrine of regeneration, our effectual call, our sovereign grace, our election, our superlapsarianism, I wouldn't have known anything. I would have known this. The guilt of my sin has been taken off and put on the Lord Jesus in my place simply because God loves sinners. And this is confirmed because Jesus has been raised from the dead, and I was once blind and now I see.
And that is a marvelous thing. And as you look back now, and you know, I was not raised in a profoundly Christian way, wasn't catechized. So at least you had church background from which to draw, and you had some instruction that ultimately bore fruit, right, in the providence of God. I really had none of that. So Christianity was almost entirely foreign to me.
You lived on the other side of the tracks in Omaha. See, I lived in the nice part of town. You were in the difficult part.
Yeah, the mean streets of Dundee and Benson.
Dundee Theater. Did you ever see a show there?
I probably did, but I don't remember. But it, it's... And yet, I can't even tell you exactly when I came to faith. I can tell you when I began to come to faith. But isn't it a marvel that I can look back and think, there was a time when I couldn't understand, didn't understand, didn't have any real conception of who Jesus is, and then there was a time when I did begin to understand. I began to know what I was, that I was a sinner. I remember very clearly reading the Sermon on the Mount. I asked my dad, well, I want to look at the Bible. Where do I start? He said, well, start with the Sermon on the Mount. I said, where is that? He says, it's in Matthew, because he was in the Lutheran church and had learned a little bit. So I found the RSV that he had that was dog-eared, literally, because Gretel the German Shepherd had chewed on part of the Pentateuch. And I found Matthew, right, used the table of contents, right, which, you know, learned people don't do, but I needed to. And I found it at Matthew 5, started reading the Sermon on the Mount. And it scared me to death. This Jesus character wasn't playing around. He wasn't kidding, right? As I've often said, as a 15-year-old boy, I read him to say, if you've looked at a woman with the intention of lusting, you've already committed adultery. And I knew that couldn't be good.
You mean you just didn't read the Sermon on the Mount and say this is not going to be fulfilled until the millennium? You didn't,
No, you didn't read
it that way?
No, I thought he was
talking...
You read
it as law?
I did. I thought he was talking about me and to me. He said, if you say you fool, you're in danger of hellfire, that you've murdered someone in your heart. And I thought, I probably did that this morning. I'm in such trouble. And this Jesus character, he really seemed to know me. He seemed to know my heart. And he seemed to know my sins, and I was quite impressed with him. And I continued to read, and I had a friend who was, you know, helping me a little bit, and sometimes not helping me in some ways. I mean, his witness was not perfect, but the Lord used all of that, and gradually I began to see that I'm a sinner, Jesus is a Savior, and I needed to put my trust in him. So, listener, if you're hearing this, and this is new stuff to you, that's a beautiful thing. And we want you at Abounding Grace Radio to put your trust in Christ. That's one of the reasons why this broadcast is on the air in North America and lots of great radio stations, and why we're on shortwave radio all across, booming all across the continent of Africa, starting in Zambia, is because we want you to know that Jesus Christ is the Savior, that he's God the Son, that he came to obey in the place of sinners, that he was crucified in the place of sinners, he was raised on the third day, he's ascended and seated at the right hand of the Father. And if you put your trust in him and recognize your need for a Savior and say, Lord Jesus, I want you to save me. I want to be yours. I need your righteousness, and I trust you. Then he hears that prayer, and he answers that prayer. And then we want you to find a good, solid congregation. And if you can't do that, contact us at agradio.org. org, and we'll help you. We have a map there. If you're in North America, we can help you find something. And if you're on the continent of Africa, we will put you in contact with some people, because we want that for you. So, Pastor Mike, how did you get from being the man born blind to being pastor of Bethlehem Bible Church and an AGR listener?
Well, that's a long story, so let me just kind of condense it.
Sure.
Zip drive.
Yeah, we have 4 minutes.
I got saved in 1989, and God gave me a brand new desire to study the Scriptures. And sometimes I think about the result of regeneration. He gives you new appetites and new affections. And I was a new creature in Christ Jesus with a new mind. And I so desired the Word of God because I wanted to learn about the Savior and learn more about what He did for me. You know, I might get a love letter from my wife and I might reread it, and I'd want to spend time with her. And I just thought, you know, I'm thinking about the Lord Jesus and I know He loves me. How can this God love me in spite of me? I was ungodly and still am, helpless, etc. And so I want to learn. And so I began to read the Bible. And then the next thing I did, and I don't want you to follow my advice, listeners, but I just went to seminary after being saved for about a year. Because where do you learn the Bible? I don't know. I guess seminary is where you learn the Bible. I didn't know that's where they're preparing pastors and missionaries.
Sure.
So I thought I'd go to school. And then I quit at the preaching class because I'm vain and I didn't want to get up and do any public speaking. I did not want to be in front of people.
Oh,
I did not want to be a radio host. And anyway, I went to school, and then the Lord changed that, and I sent resumes all across the country. And there's a little church in Massachusetts, probably 50 miles from where Jonathan Edwards ministered. And this church said, we would want somebody to come teach us about who Jesus is. And so I moved there in 1997. To Bethlehem Bible Church, and I've been preaching there for 22 years. Right now in the book of Hebrews, what a book. Jesus is superior. Everything about Jesus is great, and He is the great high priest. And the Lord has taught me much about moralistic preaching and do good preaching to now here in the book of Hebrews. Let me demonstrate and marshal from these Old Testament passages that Christ is supreme.
And that's interesting that you mentioned that, because as you're working in the book of Hebrews, that sort of chronicles or parallels some of the shifts that you've undergone theologically and pastorally in the last few years.
It has so changed me. Even a simple thing like Psalm 102 quoted about Jesus. Psalm 102, it says Elohim, and Hebrews applies that to Jesus. And so you think about Elohim the Father, Elohim the Son, Elohim the Spirit. And so how to read the Old Testament, even from a Christian perspective? Do we read the old in light of the new, or the new in light of the old? The book of Hebrews, it's a sermon, and it answers that question.
And it focuses again and again on Christ, right? It's ultimately the Bible is not about Moses. Moses is important. It's not about Abraham. Abraham is important, or David, or any of the other figures. Ultimately, all of that stuff all leads back to Christ.
I've never seen an angel in person, but if I did, I'd probably be tempted to fall on my face.
Sure.
And that's improper to do, but I would be tempted because they're so glorious. Yet in chapter 1 in Hebrews, there's someone more excellent, far superior to an angel, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who actually made the angels.
Well, we are so glad that you were able to join us today on Abounding Grace Radio. We're excited, listener, that you're listening, and we're excited to have Pastor Mike Abendroth visiting with us today on Abounding Grace Radio. We're thankful, that, Mike, that you listen and that you've been such a big encouragement to both Chris and to me. Thanks for listening to Abounding Grace Radio today. Don't forget, check us out on the website at agradio.org, agradio.org.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.
We live in an era of identity politics. We define ourselves by sexual identity and victim status and the ways our identities intersect. There is another story. It begins with sin and alienation, but it ends with acceptance with God. Rosaria Butterfield has walked the path from victim to guest. She was a professor who adopted a lesbian identity, but she read scripture and met Christians who welcomed her into their lives, shared meals and conversations, and through their witness, she came to new life and faith and a new identity in Christ. Hear Rosaria's story Friday night, July 26, 7 p.m. at 2000 North Broadway in Escondido. Rosaria Butterfield, From Victim to Guest, Sexuality, Intersectionality, and Hospitality. Friday night, July 26, 7 p.m., 2000 North Broadway, Escondido. Register now at agradio.org/Rosaria. agradio.org/Rosaria.